studying demonstrating God's power. And, you know, this obviously has to do with renewed mind. You think, well, maybe some of you took a renewed mind class or something else, or you've heard teachings on renewed mind. And that may be true, but I think always, I haven't really studied it for a while. But when I go back and study something that I haven't seen for a while, I usually see stuff I've either forgotten or I've grown and I have a greater understanding. So we're going to study demonstrating God's power, and there's some new things that Walter Cummins taught that I think we'll get into, and some of the old things that are tried and true, and I think it will bless your lives. And of course, I will elaborate on some things that I think are important and see what happens. So demonstrating or manifesting God's power requires that we renew our minds to God's word and act on it or believe it. This is not a one-time or a once-and-done event, but rather it is a continuous, day-by-day, moment-by-moment working of your mind. The point of God's word is to live it, to practice it, to make it your life and lifestyle. It's not just an academic exercise. It's not something just to tickle your fancy or, I found something new that nobody else knows. You know, that really has nothing to do with anything. What really matters is that we put it into our hearts and lives and we can live it and we can be blessed and we can serve God and we can help people. We read the Bible and we see many great signs and wonders, healings, deliverance, all kinds of stuff. And the last of the New Testament was written around 2,000 years ago, right? However, God has not changed in all that time. It's amazing. The world kind of changes, yet the word declares that there's nothing new under the sun. And that's really true. But God is the same God with the same desire, the same power to bless and help and deliver his people. The key to seeing this power is to renew our minds, to stay faithful day by day, always doing the best to live in alignment and harmony with God and his word. So I want you to go to Malachi. We're just going to look at how God never changes real quick, just to cement that in our minds. And Malachi 3:6, first part of the verse, it says, "For I am the Lord," that's Jehovah, "I change not." He doesn't change. You know, we talk a lot about climate change. We talk a lot about the new fashions coming out, except they seem to be the old fashions recycled a lot of times. So on and so forth. I remember when I was a kid, cars changed their model every year. You could tell a 56 Ford from a 57 Ford, or a 56 Chevy from a 57 Chevy, or a 58 Chevy, or whatever. They just changed every single year, and they were distinct and usually major changes. God does not change. Well, one of the reasons that God doesn't change is he doesn't have to change. He's perfect. You know, if he wasn't perfect, maybe he'd want to improve, but he can't really improve on God. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, I'm not there. James chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." There's no variableness. And the word variableness actually means change. There's no change in God. There's no He doesn't ever vary at all. Not one single tiny bit. No shadow of turning. No variableness. It's pretty amazing. Let's go to Lamentations in the Old Testament. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, and right before Ezekiel. And Lamentations 3 and verse 22. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." His compassions fail not. He's always faithful. His compassion, his mercies are steady. They're always the same. Let's go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And verse 16. It says, is that right? Yeah, Psalm 16, verse 16. "Why leap ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in his holy place, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive." Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. This is where it's quoted from. "Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. You know, he daily loads us with benefits. And you know, that was obviously written in the Old Testament, but it's even more true for us today than it was for him, for them, for Israel. So if God does not change, he must absolutely be willing to do for us at least as much and in more than he did for the believers in the Old Testament. And he's willing to do as much as he did for those believers in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. When we become born again, we become children of God. We receive Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit once more. We are whole. But that does not change our habits, our way of life, unless we, by our free will, decide to change. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. Now, you know what is also true? Sometimes we're believers, and we go along and we go along, and then we slowly drift away from what we should be doing or want to do and don't even realize it. And then we wonder what's wrong, because we're not vigilant to stay on top of what we are supposed to do. Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So here it says we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Not die for God, but live for him. The word present is a cool word. It's parastemi. It means to give, to present, to show, to yield. In Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, you know that verse, right? It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The word "show" is that word. It's that word to present, like we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Here it says we are to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen. In Romans chapter 6, you could turn there. This is important. goes right along with what we're looking at. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. The word yield is parastemi. But, in contrast, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And when it says members, it means your body parts, which is, I guess, a figure of speech, meaning yourself. You are to render yourself, members, your bodily parts, your physical body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. In verse 19 it says, I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, or the weakness of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So this here is, we are to yield our body parts as servants or douloses unto righteousness and to holiness. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You know, that, you can go back to Romans, that is a truth concerning us when we get born again, right? It's true that when Jesus Christ did that and we get born again, that we are reconciled and we are holy and unreprovable in his sight. Back in chapter 12, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The word bodies, presenting your bodies, and this is a note from the Working Translation. It says, presenting your bodies for service is a reflection of the previously mentioned yielding of bodily members as instruments of justice or righteousness, as discussed in Romans 16, 11 through 19. Here, bodies is used by the figure synecdoche to refer to the whole person. That is the self. So when it says present your bodies a living sacrifice, it means your living body, your life, how you live your life is to be presented to God. And, you know, a living sacrifice is an interesting thing. In the Old Testament, when they offered a sacrifice, that sacrifice was killed, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ gave his life as the final and perfect sacrifice for us. But a sacrifice was to be a healthy animal without blemish. That's what it was to be. We have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And our living sacrifice is to live a holy life acceptable to God. It's pretty simple. But a sacrifice was, you know, when you made a sacrifice, whether it was an offering, you know, for a feast day, or it was an offering for sin, or it was an offering for any reason, you took that animal, which had value, and you took it to the temple, to the priest, And then that, before the priest, you would slaughter that animal. Now, once you slaughter that animal, there's no getting them back, right?
Right.
You can't take it back once you've done it. There we go. Okay, so we are to be living sacrifices, not dead sacrifices. So we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're to yield ourselves to God. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world. Now, you notice in verse 2, the first word is what?
And.
So it's continuing the thought, right? It's a, what do we call that? A conjunction?
Yep.
It's a conjunction. So one of the things that's involved in offering your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, not to be fashioned to this world. The word conformed is a Greek word, schematizo, and you know, has the word schema or schematizo, to fashion or to be fashioned in the world is to live according to the fads, the trends, the lust, the desires of the world and of the flesh and of man's schemes and devices. We get the word scheme from schemata. We get the word schematic, right? They use that in engineering where it's a plan or a, kind of like a map of what they're doing. We live in the physical world. Right? We live in a physical world and we have to have our physical needs met, but it should not control or dictate to us. It is not what we live for. Our lives are to be spiritually based, spiritually centered on God. So it says, be not conformed to this world, be not fashioned to this world, but, and the word but is emphatic. It's but in contrast to the world's fashions, we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to be transformed, and that word transformed is the word metamorpho, which we know is where we get the word metamorphosis, where a slimy, wiggly, ugly worm weaves a cocoon and then he stays there and he changes into a beautiful butterfly. Transformed. It means to have a new figure. We change the forms or the figures in our minds. It is the same word that Jesus Christ used when he was on the Mount. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. Same word. Our minds are transfigured or transformed as we put God's word in it and hold it there. Obviously, you could put God's word in it, in your mind, and then it could be gone 2 seconds later. Right? We can put anything in our mind. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then 2 seconds later, we're distracted and we're doing something else. Well, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hold God's word in our mind. And as we hold God's word in our mind, we are transformed. We have a new figure in our mind, a new form in our mind. The how is by renewing your mind. We put God's word in our minds and discipline our minds to hold it and act according to it, according to the truth. The word renewing means to new up or be new in quality. The new spiritual person when we are born again is new in time, but our lives are not necessarily new in quality, are they? that is something else that we have to do. We have to change by our decision and by our acting, how we decide to act and think and live. Our lives only take on a new quality as we walk by that new spiritual life, according to God's word. Let's go back to Romans 6 again. You know, it's really hard for people to change. We are creatures of habit. Physically, we're very much creatures of habit, right? Most people, they do the same thing every day when they get up. They have a routine. Get up, you have a cup of coffee, brush your teeth, you know, take a shower, get dressed, whatever. Do the same things. Make the bed, hopefully, you know. But mentally, we also have habits. We have habits in the way we react to things. We have habits in the way we think about things. We have habits in the way we emote. We have habits in the way we speak. All those things are things that when you get born again and you want to renew your mind, you may have to change. Now, you may, some people may have to change some things more than others because we're all different, right? We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different training. Some people, it's easy to renew their minds in some ways and not in others, or to change in certain ways and not in others. Okay, chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, we are buried with him," speaking of Christ, "by baptism unto death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You know, and that's an analogy there, pointing out how Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, walked in newness of life, and that when we were born again, you know, we were buried with Christ and we were raised with Christ, so therefore we should walk in newness of life, just as Jesus Christ walked. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Before the new birth, what did I say? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. You know, before we were born again, the Bible refers to that life as the old man. That old man was crucified with Christ, and when we are born again, we have the ability to walk in newness of life just like Jesus Christ walked after the resurrection. You know, he walked in a newness of life. We have a newness of life. We now have a spiritual life. Again, we were men of body and soul. We couldn't walk spiritually until we got born again. Then when we got born again, we could walk according to spiritual truths and understanding. We could walk according to God's Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So when we're born again, we receive Spirit. We are a new creation. We are new in quality. We have Holy Spirit in us, which gives us the new spiritual abilities. We can now walk in a new quality of life in Christ Jesus. The Working Translation translates this, "Wherefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come." You know, what old things have passed away? Well, sin and sin nature. That's passed away. Condemnation. That's passed away. You're no longer condemned to death. Total reliance on the five senses. That's passed away. What new things have come? Well, Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit. Righteousness, sanctification, eternal life, access to God our Father, sonship, and more. These new things we can put in our mind. Do you ever meet a Christian and, you know, all they think about is what a terrible sinner they are? They don't have a renewed mind. So how can you walk with the power of God if you think you're just a horrible sinner? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, I don't care if you've been in the Word 50 years. I'm getting close to 50 years. I have been in the Word 50 years. Or 2 months. You still have to renew your mind. You still have to, every day, put the Word into your brain. And you still have to believe. I used to think, wow, why couldn't I just do an all-inclusive, one-size-fits-all prayer? And move on. But it doesn't work like that. Can't do that. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. This is in the practical section. The practical section of Ephesians. And so it's what we are to do. How we are to live. And it says in verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, you know, in the beginning of Ephesians, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And yet, in the practical section, what does he say? You need to put off the old man. So even though they were faithful in Christ Jesus, and this was a wonderful church where people were really, you know, doing great things and the Word was moving and they saw great things happen, he said, hey, you still got to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Former conversation is what? The way you live, the manner of life, your behavior, your conduct. Because when you get born again, you know, you're all excited. Wow, I'm born again. I spoke in tongues. I'm going to heaven. But I'm still a drunk. Or I'm still a something else. I don't know. A thief. It's the way I make my living. Well, it says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And to put off means to put away from oneself. To put it away. The Working Translation translates this, namely, that you strip off the old man according to the former manner of life, which is corrupt according to deceptive cravings. That's what they are. Deceitful lust, deceptive cravings. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the word spirit there is not referring to Holy Spirit or the gift of Holy Spirit, but it's referring to the spirit of man, the life that's in man, its issues and what he does. It's the life of man. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the life of your mind, you are to be renewed. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're to put on. And the word put on is the word enduo. And that means to be clothed with or enveloped. When Jesus Christ was speaking to the apostles He said, "In not many days hence you will be endued with power from on high." You would be clothed with power from on high. Here it says that we are to be clothed with the new man. The new man is set in contrast to the old man. We'll look into this more, the new man, but it has to do also with chapter 3, where it talks about Jew and Gentile being of the same body and called to that new man. And the word holiness is hastistos, hastiotos, hastiotes, that's what it is. The state of being devout, devoted, or dedicated to something, and hence pure and undefiled by any crime or wickedness. Here it is devoted or dedicated to the truth. That's a note from the Working Translation. So it says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When we put on that new man in our minds, we start from a fresh point. You know, whatever happened before you got born again is done, right? It's no longer an issue. You've been forgiven for all your previous shortcomings, your sins, your sin nature, everything. As a believer, every day is a new day. We have a fresh start every day with God. If we make a mistake, we just thank God that He has forgiven us and we move forward. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. This is pretty cool, this section. Let's start in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you are born again, you're risen with Christ, according to God's word. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or seek those things which are above means, you know, you're looking to God and the things of God. That's what you're seeking. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And that refers to what? The hope, the gathering together of the church. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God is to do with the judgment day, the day of the Lord, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, you're born again, now, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You know, lie not. You know, when you get born again, if you have been a liar, you might keep lying for a while. You know, sometimes it's a real temptation to lie because you think it's the easy way out of a situation. Usually it doesn't work out that way. You usually get hung up with a lie. Because once you lie, then you have to remember that lie and you have to back it up at some point with another lie. And it keeps going like that. Or stealing. You know, if people, you know, we should have a higher standard than the people of the world. So, you know, it's pretty commonplace for people to go to work and they will take paper clips, staples, pencils, pens, you know, whatever. Now, if your boss says, yeah, you can have them, that's fine. But if he doesn't, then you're kind of stealing, aren't you? We should have a higher standard in life. If you have a problem with your temper, you get angry easy. You know, these are all habit patterns in people's lives that you have to renew your mind to God's word and work at changing. So it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We're to put off all the deeds, all the workings of the old man, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. So, you know, we put off the old man with his deeds, but then we put on the godly attributes, the godly things of being forgiving and kind and loving and giving. And when we put on that new man, our minds are new and we start fresh every day. In the book that Walter wrote, Demonstrating God's Power, it says, as we put on this new quality in our minds with heavenly thoughts, we renew our minds and thereby become transfigured or transformed. We get a new figure in our minds. As we get this new figure in our minds, according to God's word, we demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. A great section here. And just, you know, in the first century church, the apostles preached the word. They didn't have Bibles. They didn't have written Bibles. It wasn't written yet, the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. And they would go to the Old Testament to show people the prophecies and how Jesus Christ fulfilled them. And then they would get together every day. It says in Acts chapter 2 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And they did that daily. And then in chapter 4, when they had a problem, they got together and they prayed. And they said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, the threatenings of the people in power, the religious leaders and whatever, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And the reason they're praying this is because they were threatened not to speak the word. They were told they should not speak the word. And if they did, they would face retribution. And then verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and were all filled with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You know, these people had changed their mind and they were all like-minded. And they prayed for the same thing and they looked for the same thing. They had the same goals. Let's go to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 5. And this is where Philip went down to Samaria. Philip the Evangelist. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he, Philip, did. Now, Philip did them, but how did he do them? By the power of God, right?
Yeah.
He believed God, he listened to God, and he did what God told him. And he preached the word. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Philip preached Christ unto them first. Then they had something to hold on to and they had something to believe. They put that into their brain and they believed it. Men and women in the first century church heard God's word, renewed their minds, and saw God's power manifested. We too can see God's power manifested. In our lives, we can see God working. As we renew our minds to God's word, we will see what he can do. As we do this, we will exercise more discipline to believe, overcome fear, doubt, worry, develop greater trust in God, and more certainty, more health, and overall just be more blessed and peaceful. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, God would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. Salvation and knowledge of the truth were meant to go together. As we renew our minds, we will continue to grow and learn. We never stop learning. We never know it all. To have the full benefits of God, to really appreciate salvation that Jesus Christ came to give, and to have that more abundant life, we must know God's word and renew our minds accordingly. And that's where we're going to end up tonight. Woohoo!